My name is Auntie Yvonne Sandow, and the title of my live-in book is Days on the Farm. Hi, boys and girls. Thank you for asking me to come here today. My story began in England. I was born there, and when I was 15, I left school and I went into a 3-year apprenticeship to be a hairstylist. When I was 20, I went over to Europe on a holiday, and there I met my husband. He was in the Air Force, and he was stationed in France. We were married a year later, and then we went to live in France for a year. In 1967 was the day that I left Europe and came to Canada. We flew on an airplane, and we landed in Trenton, Ontario. And then from there, we traveled by train to Maple Creek, Saskatchewan. It was a long journey, and I had never seen anything like it in my entire life. I grew up in a place like this. Lots of trees, lots of green grass. No mountains, but lots of trees and the green grass. In Saskatchewan, there's nothing. It's vast. On the prairies, there's no trees, and it's very desolate. At least it was for me, being 21 years old. My in-laws lived on a farm about 25 miles from Maple Creek. And my first thought when I saw the farm was sheer horror. Like, where am I? I quickly scanned their house and I realized I couldn't see a bathroom. So I asked and they said, oh, we have an outhouse. I'm thinking, okay, what's an outhouse? And they told me that that was the toilet and it was the back of the house. So this one night I went out there and I'm in the toilet and I'm sitting there and I hear this howling. And it was so loud, I thought it was right beside, right at the back of the outhouse. I pull my pants up and I set off running to the house. And I said, there's a wolf there, there's a wolf there. And everybody laughed and they said, there's no wolf here, it's a coyote. And it's miles away. Well, I didn't even know what a coyote was. It sounded like a wolf to me, and it sounded a lot closer than a long way away. Then I wanted to have a bath. That was the next major shock. There was no bathtub. Having a bath on that farm was a tin tub in the front porch. It isn't going to happen. I'm not going to have a bath there. So after 3 weeks, we moved back to Winnipeg, and we lived there for a while. And then we went to Alberta, and that's where we started farming. And that's where my story begins as Days on the Farm. When my children were little, I had 3 children, 2 boys and a girl. When they were little, I didn't do much work on the farm because I took care of them. But once they went to school, then I started to help my husband. I'd never been on a farm before. I'd never been around any animals. The only animals I had growing up was a goldfish. And he never stayed in the water. Every night he jumped out of the water onto the floor and he died. So we did have a dog when I was about 14, but not when I was little. So I was pretty scared of animals. We had pigs. And eventually we had 100 pigs. And I had to go out and help my husband. So I gave up 2-piece suits and high heel shoes for rubber boots and coveralls. And the coveralls were always big, so the crotch was always down to my knees, so I would be constantly pulling these coveralls up. When the first time I went out to work with my husband with the pigs, the sows were pretty big. Some of them were close to 200 pounds. They're big, and they're pretty fierce looking, the female sows. And we had an alleyway, and when the sows would come out of the pen, my husband would say to me, you stand by that alleyway with this board, and it was a piece of plywood. And if the sow comes your way, instead of turning the way I want her, you hold that plywood, and when she comes running, she'll see the plywood and she'll turn around and go. So the first time that happened, the sow came my way, and I looked at this 200-pound sow, and I looked at this board that I'm holding, and I'm thinking, I don't think so. So I moved aside, and the sow went out into the field. My husband wasn't really too happy about that. And that happened several times before I was sure that that sow would turn around when I put that board there. When we ship pigs, That was a very interesting time, because then I had to help my husband. And sometimes the pigs would not go where they were supposed to go, or I would let them go where they weren't supposed to go. And my husband would get a little bit annoyed. In fact, his voice would kind of raise a little bit as the pigs went by, until one time I would say to him, if you shout at me one more time, I'm going in the house. And that meant if I went in the house, he would be by himself looking after the pigs. And so his voice lowered, and we got along just fine. The other, so not being around animals, I wanted to have animals. Well, first we got a horse, a little horse. We had, his name was Poncho, and he was about, he'd be about that high. My husband had two big horses, and he always wanted me to ride them, but I was scared. I was scared of them. But the Shetland pony, I could get on. Now, the Shetland pony, he loved kids. He would have just loved you guys. He loved kids. You know why? Because when kids got on his back, he knew he could do whatever he wanted. If he wanted to go left, he went left. If he wanted to go right, he went right. But when an adult got on him and they wanted him to go left, he had to go left. And he didn't like that, so he would just give a little hiccup like this, and he'd buck you off. And most adults weren't even aware, because he was really cute. He'd just be galloping along, and then all of a sudden he'd just stop, and off you'd go. Well, he had bucked me off many times. And this one day, I was riding him, and he bucked me off, and he made me so mad. I got a hold of those reins, and I held on, and he dragged me halfway down the field. And unknown to me, my husband was watching from the road, and I was determined that that horse was not going to get away on me today, and he dragged me. And finally, he come to a dead stop. And I think he realized that I meant business, and he wasn't going to get away from me. So I got back on him, and we rode home, and everything was fine. Then next, our neighbor had a goose. They'd raised him, and they didn't want to butcher this goose, so they gave it to us. Well, that goose took over the chicken house. She wouldn't let any of their hens go in there to lay eggs. And then in the summertime, she went in the swimming pool, and the children couldn't go in the swimming pool because she would raise her neck and she'd hiss at them. So we had to get rid of her. But then my fun part of all the animals we had on the farm was a goat. We got a goat. She was only 6 months old when we got her, and her name was Easter. She was pure white, and she was fun. In the summertime, she would run down the field, and she would kick up her heels and run, and my children would run after her. But she was very inquisitive. She liked to be around people, and I'm sure that she thought she was a dog, because she used to sit with our dog on the front step, side by side. She was smart, too. She knew that if she leaned against the porch door and pushed hard enough, the door would open. And one day, we came back from church, and here she was, inside the porch. We had a big bag of dog food that was almost empty, and she had her head inside of it up to her hips, and she was making this horrible, ghastly noise, like she couldn't get out. I don't know how long she'd been in there, but we finally got her out. Then she started eating everything. She ate all my flowers. Then she went into my garden and she ate everything in the garden. She never ate anything. She never ate grass. She ate twigs and old branches and geraniums. She loved geraniums. So I tied her up. She didn't like that at all. She never learned to be tied up. So she always stayed by the barn. But when the fall came, like I said, she got to think she was a dog. Every morning, when the school bus would come to our house, it would come to pick my children up at 8 in the morning, and it dropped them off at 4 at night. We had a long driveway. So every morning, she would go with the dog. The goat and the dog would follow the children up to the end of the driveway and wait till they got on the bus, and then they would come home. My children never got on the bus all at once. One would get on, and then another one would get on, and then there'd always be the slowpoke, right? He'd be the last to get on. Well, this morning I'm looking out the window and I see the bus take off, and then all of a sudden I see it backing up. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? And then I look closer and I see this white thing going down the aisle. And so the bus stops and the door opens, and the bus driver is trying to get the goat off the bus. The bus, the goat followed my youngest son on the bus, went right to the back of the bus, and the bus driver didn't notice because he had his head turned the other way. He didn't notice until all the children started laughing. So then he tried to get the goat off the bus, and the goat wouldn't get off. He wanted to go with the children. So I had to go down to the end of the driveway, get on the bus, and literally drag her off the bus. When my children got home that night, I said to them, what did Mr. Ostrick say about the goat being on the bus? Was he mad? And they said, no, he wasn't mad. He told us he thought she was better looking than all three of us. Those days were fun. We had lots of fun on the farm. Our children grew up there. And when they were 11, 14, and 17, we moved to British Columbia. And then our lives changed again. I then reverted back to being a hairdresser, and that's what I am now. When I was in England and a young girl of 21, if somebody would have said to me then, do you know, you're going to go to Canada, and you are going to live on a farm, and you're going to herd pigs, and you're going to shovel manure, and you're going to bale hay, and you're going to drive a tractor and a combine, I would have said they were nuts. There's no way. But I did. And sometimes challenges are put in front of us, and we think that we never can do things. My dad used to always say to me, when I used to say, I can't do that, my dad used to say, can't, won't. So you say you can't, that means you don't want to, you need to try. Because challenges, if you accept a challenge, you never know where that can go. It's amazing. Thank you for having me here today. It was a pleasure.